Job 18. It says, then Bildad the Shuhite responded, "How long will you hunt for words? Show understanding, and then we can talk. Why are we regarded as beasts, as stupid in your eyes? O you who tear yourself in your anger, for your sake is the earth to be abandoned, or the rock to be moved from its place? Indeed, the light of the wicked goes out, and the flame of his fire gives no light. The light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him. His vigorous stride is shortened, and his own schemes bring him down. For he is thrown into the net by his own feet, and he steps on the webbing. A snare seizes him by the heel, and a trap snaps shut on him. A noose for him is hidden in the ground, and a trap for him on the path. All around terrors frighten him, and harry him in every step. His strength is famished, and calamity is ready at his side. His skin is devoured by disease. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is torn from the security of his tent, and they march him before the king of terrors. There dwells in his tent nothing of his. Brimstone is scattered on his habitation. His roots are dried below, and his branch is cut off above. Memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name abroad. He is driven from light into darkness, and chased from the inhabited world. He has no offspring or posterity among his people, nor any survivor where he sojourned. Those in the west are appalled at his fate, and those in the east are seized with horror. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is a place of him who does not know God." Amen. Amen. Wow. Very harsh chapter. So again, this is round two. This is the second friend of the three. So this is Bildad the Shuhite. And Bildad will basically draw from a lot of things that Job has said. And so it's not so much that he's just speaking freestyle. He's actually responding to multiple speeches by Job, particularly in the last three or four chapters. And he's continuing on in that way. And so we'll see the beginning of this, and I'll just break it up into kind of subsets, and we'll talk about this as we go along. And in verse 1-3, which is one little block, Bildad basically rebukes Job for his words and his low opinion of his friends. You could say, it says, "How long will you hunt for words and show understanding, and then we can talk?" And so he's responding to Job's words, particularly in 16:3, where he calls the words of wind. In other words, just kind of meaningless as they're going on. We can tell now at this stage they're both the friends, and for Job, they're both getting really tired of hearing each other speak. They're getting really tired of each other's voices. But yet, there's no remedy. Nothing is being accomplished through all this. And so you can see that. He says here, he asks the question in verse 3, "Why are we regarded as beasts and stupid in your eyes?" And so they're basically trading insults with one another because Job has made that accusation to them. They're coming back and forth. And so we see a lot of back and forth that's happening here during this time. Verse 4 kind of stands by itself, and Bildad basically tells Job to look to himself and the unchangeable laws of life. Remember, this is their whole outlook. It comes down to bad things are happening to you, you are probably a bad person. Really bad things are happening to you, you seem holy and righteous on the outside, but you must have great sin in your life, Job, for all this calamity to go your way. And if you remember in 16:9, Job said that God was assaulting him and tearing him to pieces. So Bildad responds in verse 4, "O you who tear yourself in your anger." And so Bildad is basically saying here, listen, buddy, God's not doing this to you. You're doing this to yourself. You think God is tearing you. In fact, you are actually tearing yourself. And you're tearing yourself by your needless rage that you have, tearing yourself in your anger. Right, Bill, that's suggesting that you are basically bringing this upon yourself. And no one, God's not doing this, no one else is doing this but you. And he says, for your sake, is the earth to be abandoned or the rock to be moved from its place? Bildad felt Job wanted to overturn his own crisis of sin and his refusal to repent. And it's all he needed to do. All he needed to do was repent. But he's not doing that. And so as a result, you know, does he want the earth to move on his behalf? You know, does he want the rocks to be moved in his place? And so he's just talking about the folly of all this. And then in 5-6, he's really talking about the Bildad is going to basically talk about the way of the wicked. And he's hoping that as he describes this, that Job will change his mind and place his lot with the wicked here. You know, obviously, it's not working, but. And he was hoping that Job would get the idea that he was among the wicked. Bildad wants to establish with absolute clarity that every wicked man gets paid in full. Every wicked man gets paid in full in this life for all of his wicked deeds. And so, you know, one of the ideas that he throws out here, and he says, the light in his tent is darkened, his lamp goes out above him. And so, if you remember in Job 17, particularly 10-16, Job described the darkness of his life. Bildad pointed that out to him here, and he wanted Job to see that dark outlook that Job is realizing. You know, he's got a dark outlook of his life. Bildad is hoping that Job would see that dark outlook as a sign that he was among the wicked. And then in 7-10, Bildad talks about the dangerous path of the wicked. So 5-6, the dark life of the wicked. In 7-10, the dangerous path of the wicked. 11-16 is the miserable life of the wicked. And then in 17-21 is the sad destiny of the wicked. So you can see he's really trying to describe this, hoping that Job would catch on and say, oh yeah, that's me. That, you know, this is my life. This is why all this is happening. But he doesn't get it, obviously. So we'll follow this along. The dangerous path of the wicked. He says here that the strength of the steps of strength are shortened. Bildad basically describes a wicked man of someone who walks in his steps weak in his steps or really unable or unwilling to continue the journey of life. So he says that this person constantly walks in a snare, walks into a trap. The wicked man is not only weak in his journey, but he's also on a very, very dangerous path. He seems to always be running into trouble. And he's telling Job, you have walked into your own crisis. We lose a little bit in the translation here, but Bildad is pointing to 6 different hunting devices that trap people. And so we can see there's a webbing, there's a snare that's seized by the heel, a trap that shuts on him, a noose for the ground, another trap on the path. And so again, we lose a lot in this translation, but he's laying out 6 different hunting devices where you would catch animals or ensnare them in some way. And he's basically saying, you know, with a lot of hyperbole and a lot of repetition, that this is a path that the wicked are on. There are so many traps, all different kinds of traps, and you cannot escape these traps. These traps will get you in time, because that's the path that the wicked are on, the dangerous path of the wicked. And then in 11-16, he begins to relay the miserable life of the wicked. that tares frighten him on every side. Bildad will obviously take another statement. Remember in Job 16, 9 through 14, Job felt that God had assaulted him on every side. And basically Bildad says, no. It's happened on every side, but it's not God. Again, it's you. Another proof of your own wickedness. He talks about now his skin disease. And we know from going all the way back from early on in Job, and then we'll read later on in Job, that part of his crisis that he goes through is a medical crisis, which is his skin. It's kind of a form of leprosy, but it's even worse than that. And in these ancient days, there was a very clear understanding that if you had a skin disease, then that you are forsaken by God. That something was really wrong, and that was the idea of leprosy, particularly back in those days. And so, your wickedness, Job, has devoured patches of skin. The simple idea, right? The wicked have terrible skin problems. And, you know, to be honest, I was thinking about this, and this is not like even ancient. I remember when I was in high school, now no one thinks about this, but I remember when I was in high school, there was a thought, that if you had acne, which most kids have acne in high school, but the idea is that if boys had acne is because they were masturbating too much. Sorry, I don't want to shock you, such early in the morning. But I do distinctly remember that there was this idea like, oh man, you know, that guy is really breaking out. Oh, that guy must be masturbating a lot. And so we see that this is not necessarily just such an ancient idea either. You know, this is like, I was in high school 30 years ago. I mean, well, actually more than 30 years ago now. But I mean, it's crazy how this works, but that's the idea. Skin issues, terrible skin problems. You know, you're messing up. There's some wickedness going on. And so he's telling Job, look, you got skin issues. Guess what, bro? You got wickedness. And he's trying to put it out. And then he uses this phrase, the king of terrors. And it's really this poetic verse to really talk about death. And whatever to the Jews, whatever was unknown territory, you know, it was the king of terrors was there, and obviously unknown places, dark places. That's one thing, but death was something else. And so it's quite a accurate description of death and those things. The king of terrors, and then we continue on, and then in 17 to 21, he relays what we call the sad destiny of the wicked. And this, you got to hold on to your seats now. This is when it gets really harsh on Bildad's case. And he says the memory of him would perish from the earth. Verse 17, memory of him perishes from the earth. He has no name abroad. He is driven from light into darkness, chased from the inhabited world. He has no offspring or posterity among his people, nor any survivor where he sojourned. It's really, if you remember going all the way back to chapter 16 again, previously, Job pleaded for the earth to cry out on his behalf. And Bildad says, no, that's not going to happen. And in fact, the memory of you will perish from the earth. And so he's using a lot of what Job's saying, and he's counter that. And then this is when it gets really, really low. He says he has no offspring, no posterity, he has no name abroad, and so on and so forth, you know, no son. This is really, I mean, if this is his friend, this is a really, really cruel statement to give to one who's lost 10 children, particularly 7 sons in a very, very tragic accident. I mean, this is like a horrible thing to say to someone that's lost 10 kids. And he says, you have no offspring, you know, particularly meaning sons in this place. But Bildad felt that such cruelty was necessary to wake Job up. And then he goes further and he gets a list of the things that that really most dreaded an Israelite in life and in death, and that were clearly tokens of rejection by God. You have no offspring, no descendant, no survivor, none of these things. And every Jewish person was horrified that this would be their fate in life, because this clearly meant they were rejected by God. And we could see this in other passages in the Old Testament, particularly when women were barren. You know, they considered themselves cursed by God. Hannah just thought that she was just undone by the Lord in a negative way. And so we see that this is a very, very common thinking. And again, Bildad is really trying to wake Job up by relaying this. But I mean, but he's really like just really pinpointing, you know, the most dreaded fear of an Israelite in life and also in death, and clearly tokens of rejection by God. And then he goes on at the end and he says that the wicked don't even know God. Not only was Job wicked, but he didn't really even know God. Now, remember, this is a true statement, and a lot of these friends are going to give very true statements, but this is not a true statement in the case of Job. In fact, if you think about this and really why basically Job comes into this place, it's not Job's wickedness that brings him to this state of being, this horrible state of being. It's Job's faithfulness that brings him to this state. The Lord is not disclosing, the Lord is not showing Job's wickedness. He's actually showing Job's faithfulness. And I know that's really difficult for a lot of us to understand sometimes, but that's really the reality here. Think about the next time you're going through a difficult time, because our initial, what we typically say is, God, why have you forsaken me? And, you know, why are you doing this to me? But in this way, God is showing the world the faithfulness of Job. That's why these difficulties are happening in their life. Let me read you a quote by a theologian, Mason. And he says, in fact, there may be nothing our God wants more than to bring each one of us to the point where he can do with us exactly what he did with Job. Hand us over with perfect confidence into the clutches of Satan, knowing that even then our faith will hold. Remember, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We express faith not when things are going great, but when things are not going great. And, you know, just, I mean, something to chew on. I know it's a lot to take in the morning, but let's go before the Lord. And let's just think about this for a moment. Maybe the difficulty that we're going through is not God's rejection, but it's God's approval. Last night in our EG class, we went through Hebrews chapter 11, the faith passage. And there's an exercise in EG where Blackaby says, these are the good outcomes of faith. Ruled over lions, devoured kingdoms, raised from the dead, conquered kingdoms, and all these good things. And then there's also a list of bad outcomes that happen. You know, they were killed, sawn in two, shipwrecked, destitute, ill-treated. And those were also marks of faith. And a lot of times we only think about the positive things, but we also see that sometimes faith also has bad outcomes but God considered that to be faithful. So it kind of throws our thinking in a loop. And so let's meditate on that before we get into a word of worship, that when we are going through difficulty, pray that our faith would hold up. Pray that it would really be a manifestation, not of our wickedness, but of our faithfulness before the Lord. Let's just meditate as we sing before the Lord.
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You deliver me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of you, God. And praise I'm free. Rescue me, all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. By grace I'm free, you've rescued me. itself, I found a hope stronger, and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
Let's continue our meditation before the Lord, and let's just really lay down on the altar. You know, a lot of times as we go through life, just like Job, we're going to be misunderstood. We're going to be judged by the standards of the world. But let's have this resolve that we're just going to run to God, and we're going to hear His opinion. And God loved Job. God was, like I said, disclosing His faithfulness through this. Let's pray that when we go through this time, these seasons, and we will, right? The Bible tells us very clearly that those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And when that happens, let's pray that we would really run to the Lord for comfort and strength and grace. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing work. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with illness, but also needs to be saved. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's ill with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's just pray for Holy Spirit to continue to breathe over this land, and let's pray for our churches there. Let's lift up Pastor Hyunsu and Pastor Ricky in Beijing and Shanghai. Let's ask the Lord to really be with them. Now this is a new times. This is new seasons, the new normal, and we are decentralizing, particularly in Beijing, and just pray for wisdom with the leadership, the board, as they carry out this new phase. Let's also lift up the Chungs, and let's pray for churches. And let's just lift up pulpits all over China that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Huh? Let's pray. We seem to have lost the screen here, but let's pray for the board. Let's pray that God would really just use these men and women to really lead our church. This is Jackie, Sue, Connie, Marcus, Sandeep, Ken, myself, as well as Pastor Nate. Let's just really pray for the Holy Spirit to really breathe His Spirit and His wind upon us in this place. And Monica, who's the secretary, and let's pray. Thank you, Father. Let's pray over our fellowship ministries, our young adults, the Single Life Workshop that's coming to a close soon. Let's pray for our men's ministry, Monday morning prayer and pure desire class, and the women's lunchtime prayer going on. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon all of our fellowship stuff. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's pray for benefactor, and the God will continue to increase and give wisdom over the vision fund. Lastly, let's just continue to lift up our city. Let's thank God that the numbers are going down. Let's just pray over people that are sick. And I know we're going to pray over this during lunchtime as well. But let's just lift up our city right now. It's not on the list, but it's kind of a very special prayer request. A couple of days ago, some of you guys would remember Rachel Hung. You know, she was part of SP for a while, got married, moved to Taiwan, had a kid, and then their second kid, actually, they had to have an emergency C-section. The baby came out 24 weeks and basically weighed 700 grams. And, you know, the heart's not formed. A lot of different things are happening here. So, I mean, this baby literally is in God's hands right now. And so let's pray. Let's pray for a baby. His name is Eliana. Let's pray that she would live and not die, and that she would have a long life ahead of her, and she would prosper and glorify God. You know, Rachel married a pastor, and so they're church planting in Taiwan. Let's pray. I'm sure they're devastated at this stage, but they're holding on to the Lord with all their might. So can we just spend a moment, can we pray for Rachel, husband Michael, their family, and also for a little baby Eliana, that she would live. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, God, that in many times, Lord, trials, God, are not an indication of your displeasure, Lord, but it could actually be an indication of your pleasure over us, God, as it is in Job. Lord, it was not Job's wickedness, but it was his faithfulness, Lord, that you were exposing, God, his trials. And right now, Lord, Lord, just thinking a lot about Rachel and Michael and Eliana. Lord, they're in a trial. They're in a season. Lord, we pray that Eliana would live. Lord, would you move on the behalf of the prayers of the saints, God, and rescue and save this baby, Lord. Yeah, watch over us, God. Watch over our city, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you every second of our lives, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your prayer time. Please join us for noontime prayer at 12:30. And the Lord just continue to praise with us. Continue to lift up our city, especially in the midst of COVID. All right. God bless you guys. Take care. Bye.